views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. We are so glad to have you with us today. I'm Steve Kramer.
And I'm Tim Darter. And today's show is on negotiating mindfulness. The step of the practice for Spirit Fire's online meditation practice this week is soften, open, and receive. And that step, you know, it asks us to soften to the moment, open to the possibilities, and receive all that it has to offer. Well, we thought we'd do a show on what if that can't happen? What if something's keeping you from reaching that? And so our guests this week, we've invited Ben McClellan and Lauren O'Sullivan, who are a husband and wife team, and they've made mindfulness a way of life at home and at work, where they've founded Sudbury Wellness, which is a unique collaboration between Eastern Healing Arts and psychotherapy.
Yeah, the two of them are so awesome. We've had them at the retreat center several times at Spirit Fire. So, as the topic came up of mindfulness and sort of what happens if things go awry, what happens when we sit down with our mind, we ask it to soften, we ask it to open. What if what we receive in the end isn't really this beautiful picture of peace that we had imagined it to be? And in all of our conversations at the center with both Lauren and Ben, we know that mindfulness is so important to them and that they come at it from very different angles, and yet they incorporate it into this wonderful wellness center called Sudbury Wellness. So Lauren and Ben, welcome. It's so great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Good. So listen, I'm going to give the listeners a little bit of a background as to, you know, how we came to this. And then I really want to hear about Sudbury Wellness. I'm really excited to hear you two talk about it. But I'd love to sort of start by saying I came across an article in The Guardian, and it was about a woman who had tried mindfulness and actually had sort of disastrous results. She was assigned this piece, and she went into a sort of a corporate environment. They had created a mindfulness initiative within this corporation, and she joined these employees, and she sat down to write this piece. And she says before she started that she's never had any, like, sort of mental health issues, and she usually thrives under stress. And she found that it was going to be sort of a little bit stressful, but she was excited to do it. So I'm going to read a bit from her article. She says, "We were asked to eat a sandwich in silence, to think about every taste and texture, every chewing motion and bite. Far from being relaxed, I felt excruciatingly uncomfortable and began to wonder if my jaw was malfunctioning." She then says it came to meditation. So that first part is basic mindfulness, really paying attention to the body. What's it doing? Really seeing if you can sort of experience that which you might not have noticed that the experience of chewing or of eating is going to bring to you. So then it came to meditation, and she says that they were asked to close their eyes and think about their bodies in the chair and think about the floor, the room, and how each limb touches the chair and their backs and their legs on the seat. So she says all of a sudden she can't breathe. No matter how fast or slow or deep or shallow her breaths are, it feels as though her lungs are sealed. Her instincts tell her to run. She can't move her arms and legs. She feels this panic coming. She worries she might pass out. Her mind is racing. So I read this and I thought, you know, I would imagine a lot of listeners new to meditation or new to mindfulness might have had that same experience. And then she goes in the article on to talk about another person who, as part of an industry, same thing. They are in a highly competitive industry, and they give their staff a 3-day mindfulness course as part of this corporate training program. And this woman has an awful time. She goes into this training program, and a childhood trauma resurfaces, and it leads her to a complete depressive breakdown. And she basically doesn't work full time anymore. She goes to part time. Her doctors tell her to avoid relaxation methods. She says, quote, recovery involves being completely grounded. So yoga is out. So we're going to get to that part later. But, you know, I see that this article is sort of, we're not here to contradict these stories or be in defense of mindfulness. In fact, I found these stories really inspiring and really truthful. And I found that they told us a lot about our coping mechanisms and sometimes that really long journey to return to ourselves and our natural state. I find that people often are thriving under stress. Both of them said they were in highly competitive jobs, the woman writing the article said she thrives under stress. And I think it tells us a lot about the culture we live in. And so it made me think of Ben and Lauren. I wanted to bring them on and talk to them a bit about their jobs, about Sudbury Wellness. I'm sure people have come in with these same issues, wanting to slow down a little bit, wanting to kind of feel into what is mindfulness? How can I bring myself to a clearer, cleaner version of myself? So Lauren and Ben, Sudbury Wellness, the two of you came together from relatively different backgrounds, but you're sort of in the same, you're in the same boat. You are both helping people, I would say, return to themselves. Yeah?
Yeah. I think that's an accurate way to say it.
Wonderful. So I'd love to hear from either of you or both of you a little bit more about Sudbury Wellness, and then we can take it from there.
Well, Sudbury Wellness was born out of a desire for two things to happen. For Lauren to start her private practice in a nice office, and for me to start teaching some yoga classes a little bit closer to home. So I had owned a studio about a half hour from where we live for over 6 years. And just looking at, you know, setting up something a little bit closer to home and also doing something in collaboration with Lauren, which we hadn't done up to that point, which was about a year ago. So as we talked about it more, you know, we just felt like this area where we're living, you know, needed something like that really merged the movement and meditation that I could bring to the table, and then the talk therapy and self-reflection work that Lauren brings.
And, you know, I don't in any way want to sound sort of like simplistic, but I know when I took yoga classes, there would be just emotions that would come up, sometimes tears. And I found it sometimes to be a release on many different levels. It wasn't just coming back to my body. It was really like coming into my fullness, which was really my mind, my emotions. It was all that stuff. And on the other hand, I know there have been times when I've been in some sort of therapeutic session that was a lot of talking, a lot of counseling, a lot of back and forth. Sometimes you get so lost in your mind that you just think, my God, I need to go for a walk. And I can see how needing to move, needing to embody would be really important. So as I think of you two, this husband and wife team, one coming from yoga that can send somebody over to the psychotherapist's office, and one being in psychotherapy saying, go take some yoga, that just sounds brilliant to me. I mean, is that simple, but also quite true?
Yeah, I think so. I know that for my clients in particular, I had always, you know, wanted to incorporate more physical movement into their treatment. It's certainly a way that helps them kind of connect to their whole self. And so, you know, sometimes it's a struggle geographically to find that. So I think part of that was that desire too, to kind of have the opportunity to use both of our skills for all of our clients. And to have that crossover for people, I think it just made it easier to access help when you need it, or to learn different skills when you need to learn them. And I think both of our modalities give people a different, even just a different physical space to do that. One, you know, in one space you're physically moving, in another space you're not. When, you know, when they're with me and talking, we're not physically moving a lot of the time. So I think that combination was very helpful and something that we had desired to have for both of our clients.
And so is it that there are client crossovers where you're both working with the same clients, or is it just that under one roof, all of this is made available?
Both happen. So some of our clients overlap and some of our clients see us just individually.
Wonderful. I mean, so it really is this holistic approach to wellness in every single way. I mean, you're incorporating body, mind, spirit, emotions, all of it under one roof, which is just beautiful. And it certainly is the way of the future, we would hope, right?
Yes.
You know, so I'd love to get back to this article. You know, this article talked about this woman who really just had this breakdown and was talking about another woman who so many childhood traumas came up. She really had to stop working. I mean, this was really not going on a mindfulness retreat for 3 days turned out to be a disaster. Now, of course, Tim and I, we're privy to all kinds of retreats. We've met you through the retreat center and the beautiful retreats that you lead. And what's interesting is that, well, luckily, we don't see too many breakdowns. But, you know, in a sense, mindfulness was this tree that brought these downhill skiers to rest. You know, it was like not pretty. So we would certainly hope that when one goes to slow down their lives a little bit, or in thinking of mindfulness as being self-observation, when they make a choice to observe themselves either through counseling or in any way, that they find a gentler, easier way about this that doesn't quite look so harsh. So I'm wondering, during classes, during the retreats, have you guys ever seen this come up? I mean, have you ever seen this sort of stop, drop, and drama?
You know, yes, there's certainly been, you know, moments of emotion and some strong reactions to the self-reflection work that we've done in the retreats. But, you know, I think just if I could take a step back at the broader view for a second, you know, the thing I love about the mindfulness movement and the awareness of it is, you know, I think the big message, at least that I hear, is, you know, like Jon Kabat-Zinn says, paying attention to the present moment on purpose and without judgment. And I think that's a great message in terms of reaching a broad audience and getting people interested in mindfulness. But I think maybe one of the missing pieces that comes out in this article is that, you know, when we slow down and pay attention to this moment, we start to see ourselves and in fact, we start to maybe see our darkness. And one of the things my grand teacher Pundichi says is, you know, in order for us to make our way to our light, we have to first go through our darkness. And so, you know, I think maybe one of the bigger pieces here is that, we as teachers can kind of put that message out there that, you know, like mindfulness is a completely useful practice for everybody. We can all benefit from it. And this is also possible. You know, you may experience your darkness when you slow down. So that was a little bit more than maybe you asked for, but.
No, that's great. And it's that we need a good trainer in anything. We need a good trainer. So listen, we're already at our first break. We're going to go to a break and continue this conversation when we get back.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Shine On Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now through March for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
And today we're speaking with Ben McClellan and Lauren O'Sullivan on negotiating mindfulness.
Yes, negotiating the slowing down of the mind. Right before we went to break, Ben was talking to us a little bit about becoming aware and what is awareness. And that sometimes, you know, when we become aware of our mind and the fullness of our mind, we've got to sometimes get through the dark stuff. That part of being aware is seeing everything clearly, bringing clarity. And sometimes when we bring the light to our mind, we can sometimes find things that we might want to work through, that we might want to confront. So, now, Ben and Lauren, in case you just joined us, they have a practice called Sudbury Wellness. And together, they work with clients to bring them to a state of wellness, to a state of, I would say, mindful embodiment, to being somewhat closer to themselves. Lauren, I'd love to hear a little bit from you, your practice and your training. So, you know, you've talked quite a bit between when we've had conversations about the emotional aspect. And I would imagine in psychotherapy that emotions come to the surface quite a bit and that we've got to work our way through them. And I'd love to hear from you what part you see that playing, the relationship between the emotional body and the mental body, and ways we can move through that, some advice and ways that we can bring that to light.
Sure. So I think that whenever someone comes to therapy or comes to a therapeutic relationship, there's usually the reason or what's driving them to do it is because there's something uncomfortable about their current experience, usually because they're experiencing a feeling or an emotion that is uncomfortable for them, and they want to work it out or they need to work it out. So I think I would echo a lot of what Ben said. Oftentimes when you come to that place, it's going to be uncomfortable. It may already be uncomfortable. And if there's, you know, if there's a lot there, or you haven't had the opportunity, or no one's ever taught you how to express yourself in words, it's going to be a struggle. And so there will be secondary emotions for that. So if, you know, if you come into therapy feeling like you want to manage your anger in a more productive way or in a less harmful way. Underlying that might be anxiety, right? So then we have to start to deal with your anxiety around dealing with your anger. So I think that, you know, there's not, I don't know that there can really be a separation between your mind and your emotion. I feel like it's probably all the same thing. But, you know, when we can slow down and think about it or feel it, sometimes that just the feeling of it can be a challenge. So I think, you know, our work is around how do you allow people to have a full experience that they feel like is helpful for them or feel maybe relieving for them. But at the same time, understanding and helping them to also understand that it's not going to be, you know, always an easy path, that there are going to be difficult parts to get through, which I think is what Ben was saying too about his work.
Indeed. And I like the idea of slowing down, that I find that's such an aspect of just getting to know ourselves. You know, I find that our culture is so fast paced, and what came across in that article from all of the people who were sort of trying to come to terms with what that would look like to observe themselves or to be with themselves was that they were panicked and that they felt this fear and they felt dread. We're often talking about the esoteric anatomy on this show, and we're talking about the chakras and the different centers. And what I found was that a lot of people were in the root center, were in their basic center, which is survival mode. That's adrenaline. So it seemed like a lot of their emotions of panic and dread were sort of really centered around that need to survive and that adrenaline. And I find our culture does that to us quite a bit. You know, we really are always pushing ourselves. We're always sort of in that go, go, go and overstimulated sort of mode. And I can imagine that the two of you find that quite a bit in people coming to you. Is that the case, do you think?
I mean, you know, if we're looking at chakras, I would say yeah, the first, but I even think the first three, if we're talking, you know, the first being fear related, the second being attachment, and the third being ego, I think, you know, and there's obviously more to the chakras, but in that kind of more general sense, like those are the big pieces to me that keep people from experiencing either their best self or the most fulfilled life they can experience. And so, yeah, you know, I often see I would say more fear and attachment. I think those who have yet to come to terms with some of their unhealthy ego wouldn't even show up to a class because they don't feel they have to work on anything, you know.
I'm curious about attachment. Can you say a few words about that?
Yeah, well, you know, I think if someone's coming to Lauren or myself, or, you know, anything that would involve working on themselves, there has to be a willingness to let go of their current experience. But what I do see is there's maybe two groups of people, those who show up and start the work, but then they disappear. And then the other group would be the people that continue and persist and, you know, are really ready to let go. So I think if we're looking at attachment in those terms, it's that willingness to let go of the experience, you know, which for all of us can be scary, right? What we know is oftentimes less painful or more comfortable than what we don't know, even if our experience is rather painful.
Right. Even if what you're saying is even if what we know not to be good for ourselves, we know it well and we can experience it every day. And the very fact that it's familiar to us keeps us going through it as opposed to making a change. Yeah, right. Sure. And then, yeah, the ego comes in, the solar plexus. I mean, this sense of empowerment and this meanness, the, you know, what what am I going to get out of this? And we've talked about that quite a bit in terms of yoga. We had a wonderful conversation a couple weeks ago about the transition from the gym mentality and this sort of idea of getting in shape and being really physically fit and looking better naked, you know, to going into the yoga class and realizing, I'm actually stretching my muscles out. And it seems a little counterintuitive to building up big muscles. And another part of it being I'm in a group. All of a sudden, there's a group setting, and I'm getting a part of it not being only about me and the mirror, but being a part of group movement and understanding motion in group and taking direction as group and actually sinking into a group vibration. So I feel that that move, as we've seen so much even at the retreat center, that move from a sort of a more me-centered idea of reality to group lends itself well to yoga. And from there, we see people moving from yoga as just for fitness to yoga as a lifestyle, which brings in the spiritual side of things. So are you noticing that I know, Ben, you made a sort of a similar transition. And I know for you, moving through yoga has become really quite the spiritual experience.
Yeah. So, I started yoga practice in a heated vinyasa studio, and that's actually where I began teaching, and was fortunate to be introduced to Rod Stryker, who's my current teacher. And he's very much rooted in the meditation tradition. And it kind of blew the doors off my practice, because up until meeting him, I didn't know that there was any other yoga other than, hot, fast, workout type of approach. And, as I spent time with him, I almost couldn't take being in a hot room moving quickly anymore. It was like, I couldn't bear it, because I had this, this other experience. That was a major transitional point for me, and in which in that time is when I really added daily meditation to my life, and began to see the profound benefits of it.
And was that by request that to add meditation to the practice?
It was by experiencing enough pain to that point in my life that I knew I had to do something different.
Mm. I see. And the meditation practice brought, just in a few words.
Yeah. So, I don't want to, it wasn't like rainbows and unicorns to start. Like the first time I sat in one of Rod's trainings, I couldn't even sit comfortably, so it was like a bit torturous at first to even be able to sit, but so I would practice for a few weeks consistently and then kind of fall off and then come back to it and fall off. And what ended up happening was the pain of not meditating became greater than the pain of meditating. And then just slowly began to see like relationships shift and, just me grow as a person and, step out of some of the limiting beliefs I had. So there were many aspects of my life that I saw touched by meditation.
Beautiful. Indeed. I love hearing that it was sort of more painful for you to not meditate than to meditate. It's sort of like as soon as we face our as soon as we face this sort of lighted version of ourselves, it's like you really, really want more. And it's a really, really beautiful thing. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back, more with Lauren O'Sullivan and Ben McClellan.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Do you want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. On the show today, we are talking about negotiating mindfulness. The step of the practice with Spirit Fire's meditation practice is soften, open, and receive. So we're talking about softening to the moment and opening up to all it has to offer, and kind of what happens if you open up to the moment and it's not as pretty as you anticipated. What if the mind is showing you things that you might not have wanted to confront? What if your emotions are a little bit awry? What then? How do you stick it out? What might one do? So we are joined today by Ben McClellan and Lauren O'Sullivan, and they run Sudbury Wellness. It's a very interesting combination of yoga, psychotherapy, Eastern spirituality. They incorporate a lot of different modalities to offer their clients a really full picture of wellness and an opportunity to take a look at themselves in a variety of ways. Lauren, I'd love to have a chat with you for a little bit on this segment about your practice. We've talked about kids all the time. I know you work with teens, and we talk about kids and meditation and what they have to offer to us all, what they have to teach us all. And, you know, I find that kids can just drop in. Anytime I've led a meditation and I've got teenagers in the room, you know, they just get so bored with this process of like returning to the body, of finding themselves. They're right there. They can just drop into meditation. And so I'm wondering, in your client base, how does, you know, I know that mindfulness is something you teach your clients. Do you find that the kids or the teens that you are working with different therapies to sort of return to themselves or observe themselves, is it a quicker process for them in the same way that perhaps I've found? Now, this is them sort of sitting down for a meditation. It's not the same as sort of psychotherapy, but I know you use the same tools. I'm wondering if it comes to them in the same way, quicker.
I think so. And compared to adults, yes. I think the younger the child, the easier it is for them to quickly drop into it. Like you said, it's kind of their natural state until, you know, life happens and then it's not. But yeah, I, you know, the younger the kids, the easier in my experience it has been for them to either drop into a mindful state or to even just kind of access that place within them. I think teenagers usually can get there quicker than most adults, I guess. But a lot of my experience has been with teens who have been in very traumatic situations. So very similar to the article, oftentimes, you know, if you are asking someone who has a trauma history or is still, you know, dealing with PTSD symptoms, you certainly want to make sure you're going slow and you're kind of assessing the process as it happens. But I think that they, you know, because it's an experience that they've had in the recent present in their life, I certainly think that they have a way of connecting to it, and that probably takes a lot of practice for adults to get to the same place as quickly as they do. So I think one of the very rewarding parts of my work has been, you know, if you can help a teenager, really anybody, kind of connect back to that place within them where they have felt, you know, this very strong interconnection to a place that's peaceful. If that's something that someone can take with them for the rest of their life, that's a very, you know, that's a very powerful thing to remind them of.
And when you say return to a place that's peaceful, do you mean in a sense of guiding them to that? I'm wondering if in a sense, sort of coming back to their senses and coming back to that place of peace, is that sort of negotiating the trauma and replacing that with something that they can replace in a place that they can go to that feels more pleasant? Is that the process you're talking about?
I don't know that I would say replacing. I think the, you know, the big picture is that you want to help people experience all of their feelings. And some of those feelings are going to be difficult to experience. And that's just the general understanding that you have to work to. When I talk about kind of finding that peaceful place kind of like deep within you, that's the place I want people or my, you know, teenagers to be able to connect to when the difficult feelings come to them. So when they're anxious or when they're angry or, you know, life is difficult, if they can take a moment or if they can take 5 minutes to connect to a place that reminds them and brings them to a peaceful state, that's, you know, that's like a break from feeling anxious or a break from feeling really angry. So it's kind of this, you know, this kind of like when you do visualization and you can kind of take yourself out of your present place and, you know, bring yourself to a really calm place or a really peaceful place. It's kind of reminding them that that is within them. They don't have to search for it in other people or substances or experiences. You know, that's something that they have within them that they've always had and then they can always access if they want to. So I think that's kind of what I'm talking about.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yes. It just brings to mind sort of we use nature within the practice of living awareness, and that connection to realizing that the world around you can be used as inspiration. You know, it can be used for fodder and to see the similarities between our experience and what's going on our insides and also what's going on outside in the world, that nature's got a way of transitioning, that it flows gently, that our breath flows, that we are connected to things that are sort of bigger than ourselves. Is that sort of type of meditation a part of the process, or is it really, I'm just curious, is that brought into the practice? Like a visualization sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I often use nature as, to use it for cues. You know, a lot of kids have, you know, most of their life experience in the outdoors. I mean, the more the better, in my opinion. So in my life, my first real experience of being mindful or being truly present in a moment was in nature. And then I was reminded of it when I started doing yoga when I was in college. So it's certainly part of my core and something that I find a lot of value in. I think it's for kids in particular, in my experience, being connected to nature, having a way to connect to nature is very grounding, very calming. It's something that is consistent for the most part. I mean, pretty much no matter where you are, you can look outside and find a tree. So, you know, if you can help someone kind of recognize that, you know, that's there for you, all you have to do is kind of search for it or look for it and it'll be there. That's a very tangible kind of concrete image, very easy for kids or even adults to bring up in their mind. So I love it. I use it all the time. No, Ben would say anything different.
Yeah. I think with me, I share it, in certain meditation practices that I lead. So I use a tantric approach to meditation, which is, you know, the first part essentially is some kind of breathing practice to help start to internalize your awareness. And then from there, there's a stage called Kriya, which is where you're actively moving the mind in some way. And, you know, for example, like stilling the lake of the mind is one of the meditations that comes to me in terms of nature, where you're seeing the mind as the surface of a lake. And as thoughts arise, you see the lake become rough. And when the thought passes, you see the lake, the surface of the lake becomes smooth. And you can see the full moon on the surface of the lake and things like that. So yeah, I definitely use that as part of the meditation process. I think it's helpful for people to connect to.
Definitely. And I can imagine with teenagers too, you know, their senses are so engaged. Life is sort of so present, I find, with them that that visualization and that sort of embodying and becoming the energy of that visualization becomes really fun for them. It becomes, I find, like an adventure. They sort of see it as an adventure. And one last thing, Lauren, I'm curious, is the group dynamic. I heard you say that there's often groups of teens you work with. Is the group dynamic something that helps a lot as well?
I think it can certainly, especially for teens, it can certainly be a very effective way to work with teens. I think considering their developmental phase, they're at the phase in their development that, you know, group or peer interaction means a lot to them. If anyone has teenagers, it might mean that they connect more with their peer group than their family group, which is, you know, a natural part of development. So if you could have a group of teenagers work together and kind of support each other and share their experiences with mindfulness, it certainly allows them more space for it. If they can talk with more people about it, especially peers, and kind of offer support and even guidance for each other, it's definitely a powerful place to be in. I've certainly been amazed with work that a lot of teens have done in groups. It's just really amazing.
Well, it's so great that you're a facilitator of that, because essentially they will remember that. That will be ingrained in them, because that's the move, essentially, is we all are moving. We were talking about solar plexus, and we're moving from the ego to be part of a group consciousness. And if we can really engage and realize that we've got each other, that we're in this together, and pull from that group energy, it certainly will help us all. I know group meditations, yoga classes as a group, anytime we can get that group energy going, it's so supportive, and it really frees us, I think, in so many ways. So when we get back from the break, I want to hear about the McClellan O'Sullivan group. Now, you work together, you live together, and you've got kids. I'm dying to hear how mindfulness is a part of your parenting, how, you know, it's in your work, it's in your home. When we come back, a little bit more about family. Are you up for that?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light, from author and healer Francine Vale, is available now.
Through Francine's life story, we learn how imperative it is to love one another. Once this simple truth is learned, peace on earth will prevail. Song of the Heart is a life lived and a story told for this purpose. To learn more about Francine and her amazing gifts, or to order your copy of the book today, visit angelsandlightbeings.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Are you ready for a radical shift in your way of being? Are you seeking a more deeply connected and fulfilling life? Awakened Living Radio is a show dedicated to helping you embrace a life filled with profound peace, connection, and happiness. TJ Woodward is passionate about helping you find your clarity, balance, and purpose. Join co-host TJ Woodward and Dr. Pat Basile on the first Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for Awakened Living Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi everyone, this is Dr. Pat. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is world-renowned for its wide array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team's mission is to provide you with fresh, organic, premium-quality maca powders at a fair price. Amazing. All of the products are always organically grown, fair-traded, GMO-free, fresh, and potent. So don't take my word for it. Experience the life-changing benefits of maca today. Visit themacateam.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are having a great conversation with Ben McClellan and Lauren O'Sullivan. We've just been talking about mindfulness. How do we incorporate it into our lives, and how do we negotiate it? That sometimes, you know, there's a process. Slowing down can be a process. We need to take it pretty slow. The two of them work together. They have founded Sudbury Wellness. It's a combination of yoga studio, psychotherapy, counseling. They're doing it all. And they work together and they live together. And I know Tim and I do that all the time. And we know that we have got to practice what we preach. We've got to walk the walk and talk the talk. And so I'm wondering how you two do that. Now, you spend your day being mindful. Does it enter into the home and under the roofs? And you're raising two beautiful kids. I know that. So I'd love to hear a little bit about that transition from work into home. Do you find you're mindful, or does it just all fall to pieces?
I think it depends on the time of day. No, I think, you know, the place that we're both at right now in our professional lives, I think, you know, mindfulness is not just something we do for a couple hours a day. It's kind of like who we are at this point. So I think certainly for our kids that enters into our household, you know, we talk to them about mindfulness. They know the words, you know, we give them, you know, vocabulary for it. They know what meditation is. They attempt to meditate at times. Ben can do a lot of very cool breathing exercises that involves moving his belly. So the kids love that.
Do they get to lay on top of you while you're doing, you know, baby belly breath?
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's other, I think, you know, parts that they love, like they love to hear Ben sing mantras, and they love to, you know, sing those things with us. And, they like to do yoga in the morning and say namaste. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that that they love to do. You know, like we were talking about before, I think that kids can be, it can be easy for them to fall into a mindful place or even just stay in a mindful place. So they certainly encourage us to be mindful throughout our day with them, especially when we're with them. I think Ben and I have a desire to be very mindful with them. Like we want to promote that in their life. We know what it's done for our own lives. And I think they're getting it. They're very young. Our kids are only 3 and 1. But I'll tell you a quick story. The other day, I'm home with the kids all day and I was not being so present. And our 3-year-old reminded me, he said to me, "Mommy, you're getting a little upset with Silas, who's our 1-year-old. And, you should be more patient with him. He's only a baby."
Wow.
So it's moments like that that I'm like, oh, okay. And here we go.
You hear a 3-year-old saying a word like patience and you go, all right, maybe they're picking up a little too much. And, that's what's so beautiful, is really they teach us quite a bit. It's wonderful to have children around because they are so present. I mean, I would imagine it's not about even as much about teaching them mindfulness as opposed to what they can teach you about presence. Do you find that?
Oh, yeah. I would certainly agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Kids are just great to have around in every regard. So for the two of you, I'm just wondering if you, any advice for somebody who has come to mindfulness training or to meditation, and they're just not quite finding it to be helpful. They're not finding it easy. Any advice that the two of you, in your words, you could give?
Well, I think for me, what's really been essential is having at least, one core teacher, I'll call it, in my life. And I have many mentors, but really one spiritual teacher. And, if you're seeking a spiritual teacher, I would also encourage people to really, take your time in making that decision, because a lot of people may call themselves spiritual teachers, but I think it's essential that you see that person really embodying the teachings in an authentic and grounded way. So that would be my advice. A teacher can really what they are is an external representation of what these internal practices are. So it's not that we want to put teachers up on a pedestal, but they can really give us, hope and a living example of what consistent practice can bring us to.
Yes. And a process of learning about ourselves. I find if you're learning as much about yourself as you're learning about your teacher, then you're kind of on to something there. There's something quite nice about that. And Lauren.
Yeah, I would kind of echo the same thing. I think if you're kind of on a path and you figure or you feel like, things either are uncomfortable for you or you just want things to be different for you, just kind of being respectful of the fact that you've lived life a certain way, and there may be very good reasons why you've had to do things a certain way. You might be at a point in your life now where you want things to be different, and that's great and that's wonderful to grow. But at the same time, there is or was value in the defenses that we have developed. And so if you're ready to kind of work through those things, I think it's important to find someone that you feel like you can really connect with, that you can be honest with, that can support you and also challenge you at the same time. But that can be mindful of how difficult it can be at times to go through something like this, and to just be compassionate with yourself and go slow. Like, don't expect, things to be completely different one day just because you decided it should be. These things take time. It's a process. It might take your whole life. It's not a light switch. It's part of your journey. So I would just remind yourself to look at it that way.
Absolutely. And just creating an environment that's supportive. And if that's putting the right people around you that are spiritual guides, or even just someone to talk to, or as you say, Lauren, a group that you can sit with and they understand you, they kind of get you, you can share, you feel open and you feel safe in their environment. So, you know, I would say right now, let's just tell them SudburyWellness.com. You know, should that be you? Have a look. The website is really beautiful, Ben and Lauren's website, SudburyWellness.com. And we just have a minute left, so I'll just tell the listeners that Spirit Fire meditations are weekly. The practice of living awareness, it's free. It's online. spiritfire.com to look at that. And anything else that you guys would like to say, Ben, I know you've got a couple things going on with yoga that perhaps you'd like to tell the listeners about.
Yeah. So I have several classes, video classes, Qigong and some a combination of yoga and Qigong on yogainternational.com. So if you're interested in what I'm offering, you can see some of the classes there.
And they would go to that website and then type in your name probably in a search, right?
Correct.
Well, wonderful. I hope everybody does that. I can't say more about Ben and Lauren. Tim and I have just had such an amazing time every time they visit the center. And we're so happy you could join us today.
Thank you.
It's just great to get to know you a little bit more in this wonderful practice that you've created. I'd love to hear, you know, holism. It's so wonderful. We seem to be moving in the right direction. So I thank you for all that you do. And Tim and I totally thank you for being on the show.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. This is great.
Appreciate it.
All right. We hope to see you next week on Spirit Fire Radio.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit spiritfireradio.com.